Odessa. Welcome to Strippin' and Road Trippin'. Right now in my life, I am currently in Las Vegas. Woo! I've been sick for a little bit, but I'll be back to work later this week. I was considering branching out and trying some other clubs, and I still might, but haven't decided yet. So stay tuned. I really stay tuned on my Instagram, because that's probably where I'll speak about that more. But anyways, today I was thinking about sharing my first New York travel experience, which was through a stripper travel agency. And a little bit of background information about that. So prior to the New York experience, I'd really only worked in Memphis and then just in Greenville, South Carolina. I think that was it at the time. There was one other place that I had gone that I'll just briefly throw in here because it was kind of ridiculous. Before New York. Yeah, so one of my friends that I'd met at a music festival invited me to go to, I think we were going to go see Bass Nectar and Pretty Lights. It's a show called Bass Lights in Hampton, Virginia. And so first I went to visit my friend in Richmond and thought I'd just work there. And the hiring process was actually really difficult. Or not difficult, but they, like, were expecting you to, like, live there. So anyways, I had to lie and say I was going to be there for a while, but I really was only going to be there for, like, 3 nights. And luckily, yeah, I knew someone that was already working at the club that I wanted to work at, so I think I was able to name drop. But that was the first club I've ever worked at where they took 50, the club took 50% of everything that you made. So lap dances were $50, which I was astounded at because before I thought that $20 was like so much money for 3 minutes and I just couldn't imagine, you know, spending that. And I like felt bad for people. I'm like, sorry, it's so expensive, you know, like fucking great. It's a hustle, obviously. Yeah, so then when I went to this place in Richmond and the dances were 50 and men were paying it without even complaining, I was astounded. Though I only got $25 out of that, which felt like robbery to me. Yeah, so I only worked there like a few days and yeah, I didn't make like a ton of money. I wasn't really impressed with the way that the club was run. And amusingly enough, I got word on the internet recently that club actually was shut down and was sued by the dancers, which is a little bit of foreshadowing for the rest of the story. Interestingly, didn't even plan that. Yeah, so I did end up going to the concert and it was super fun. But anyways, yeah, so when I decided to go to New York, I'd only danced in South Carolina, really, in Memphis, and the idea, like, I'd never been to New York, even just normally, and it seemed really scary. I was very, very intimidated by the idea of doing that, though I had a friend that had gone and danced in New York, and she worked at a club downtown, and she made a lot of money, according to her, and it went really well. But I just didn't quite have the courage at the time to do that by myself. So I had just left a really pretty fucked up, like, abusive relationship and was kind of in a just, like, super unsure point in my life where I just felt, was, like, had a lot of PTSD and was just really scared. And so what does anyone do in that position other than say, let's get a stripper travel agency and go to New York, right? yeah, so I found this agency online, and I honestly don't remember what it was anymore, but the lady was pretty helpful. And, you know, and I ended up quitting. I was working at a music production company at the time, which honestly wasn't really going anywhere. Like, they didn't have any positions that would help me move closer to the areas that I wanted to be in, which was doing creative work. So I just was like, they're not going to let me leave for 2 weeks or however long I wanted to go to New York. So I was like, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit and go be a stripper in New York. And my big plan was, yeah, to go to New York, make a lot of money, come back, invest that in an entrepreneurship venture that I was working on because I was reading the 4-Hour Work Week and I wanted to make this like glow-in-the-dark festival toy thing. But anyways, yeah, so I had this big plan to go to New York and do this thing, and it was going to work out through this travel agency, and I was just going to quit my job and then be an entrepreneur. End of story. So I did quit the job, and a lot of people in my life were like, what are you doing? But, and rightly so. It seems like some crazy shit, and it was a little bit. But anyways, I did it anyways. Just because I knew what I wanted, and I felt like I wasn't moving closer to it at that job, and I also wanted to get out of town, and I also wanted to mix things up because I realized that I'd been in a huge fucking rut because I was in this relationship that was so destructive to me, and it felt like doing something that really scared me would help to like open me up and get out of that cycle, and it did. So yeah, the listing online said it was just in New York, which I assumed meant Manhattan, but I didn't really know what the neighborhoods were. I really didn't know anything. But they offered like some assistance with your flights if you completed your contract, and they gave you free housing. And those are all things that I just wasn't sure that I could do myself in New York because it seemed really intimidating. So I took it. And yeah, I remember getting on the plane and I was listening to this like Hayden James song, and I just like felt like my heart was like opening up and unraveling, and all of a sudden like I was like crying but like touched by like me and like life. Like I actually hadn't allowed myself to cry for a very long time, and for whatever reason because I had chosen myself finally by leaving this destructive relationship, it really, I believe, signaled to my inner self. It started like a chain of effects of me choosing myself and valuing me and actually loving me, where I hadn't been doing that for a very long time, and I forgive myself for that. But anyways, yeah, I was just it, like, New York always felt like the big city. Like I was living in Tennessee, and it just seemed like, oh, you're going to big city New York. Anyways, you know, like, I don't know if you know, but people in small towns think New York's, it's really intimidating to them. So I was intimidated as well. And yeah, I went to the airport. And this guy came to pick me up who was like friends of the club owner. This like kind of like country fishing dude in like a pickup truck. Which I was like, okay. Anyways, when I finally got to the club, it was in Long Island, and the owners are kind of like, they have kind of like a mobster feel to them. There's two brothers, and the one that I met like drove an Escalade, and it was really, really super nice. He was living a great life off of this business, and I soon found out why, because they had similar practices to the club in Richmond, where they took 50% of everything that he made. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So yeah, I like was greeted in a kind way. The owner bought me some lunch, and then, yeah, showed me over to the little apartment that I would share with a couple of other girls, and we ended up becoming such good friends. It was literally right across the street from the club, and that was going to be my new home. So I got, like, a gym membership for somewhere down the street, and there was like a green juice place underneath, so I was like on my health shit, and yeah, I was like really loving my interesting adventure. And the girls that I worked with, a couple were from Hungary, one was from the UK, like we just ended up having like the best time living together. And I remember one of them would put like this peanut sauce on her eggs with chocolate chips, and I was like, you are fucking crazy. Like, that seems so gross. But some other girls there tried it. But anyways, it was like a beautiful cultural exchange moment. But of course, the club, like, and my friends in Tennessee had been like, why would they fly you out there if they weren't like desperate for some reason? Like, there's got to be some type of catch. And their intuition was right. And anybody's intuition, you know, if you're like, I think it's a good consideration to have if you are thinking about using a stripper travel agency, is like the strip, you don't have to pay to use it. And so it's like a free service to you. So somebody is paying someone. Probably the club's paying the travel agency to promote them, but why? Why are they promoting it? Because they literally have no one there, or more likely, they're promoting it because they take a lot of your money. So whatever money you make, they make too. So having more of you is great, and they're happy to pay you to come out there because you just being there makes some money. Yay! Which, you know, from a business sense, like, it, you know, in essence, that is how the industry works in general. You know, when you come, you pay to work. But I'm talking about picking like a percentage of all of the money that you make, which I personally find less ethical for, I feel, obvious reasons. So anyways, yeah, this club did that. They took 50% of everything that you made. They gave a lot of the like free drinks out to all of the dancers, and they would give us free pizza and stuff. At the time, I was like, wow, they're taking care of us. But then, like, I realized, like, they're making 50% of everything that we make. Like, they can throw me a tiny, or the dancer, like, it's nice, but, like, throwing a little bone of, like, oh, we'll give you free drinks or some pizza every now and again or whatever. It's, like, makes you feel taken care of enough to distract you from the fact that they're taking 50% of everything that you're making, which is a fuck ton. So, yeah, not only did they take your money like that, but they wanted us to work, I think it was, like, 5 days a week and, like, 7 or 8 hour shifts, which is way too much in my opinion. Mostly it was just like hanging out with other girls, but they did have some regulars, and the regulars loved it because the club was really open. So what do I mean by that? Yeah, like there were a lot of extras going on, and though the website, the stripper travel agency, had claimed that this is a very clean club, but that was not the case. And no shame to ladies who are making their money that way, but it's definitely not a good feeling if that is not your hustle and you've just flown pretty far across the US and now you have a contract with this place. Yeah, so, you know, questionable decisions that ended up turning out great in the end. But yeah, one of the times the customer doesn't even pay you, the dancer. They pay the club. So they give their money to the bouncer, and then a bouncer gives you funny money, which you collect until the end of the night. And then, like, I honestly didn't do like great math on all of this, and if I could do this over, I would go back and keep track, like, in my phone of all of the money that I was supposed to have made, because they're feeding you like free drinks all night, and then at the end of the night is when you finally get to like exchange your fake money in for the real money that the club got instead of you. And and then they had this weird policy where they only would give you like a maximum of like $400 a night. And if you wanted the rest of it, they we're gonna give it to you later, which, again, sketchy as fuck. Yeah, just like weird policies. So that was just for single lap dances, which, yeah, you only made, I think it might have been 30 and you made like $15 on, which is way too fucking low. The customers were like tipping, which was nice, but the whole policy was just a little meh. So yeah, then there was this lady who I would just like to call like the pimp of this club, and she was there to sell time in the back. So in their VIP area, which was just couches, and then they had little like an open couch area, but then they had those folding little walls where I don't really know what to call them, but they're used as like a impromptu wall. It fans out. Anyway, so they had those back there. So I can't remember if it was like an option to get them or not, but they also had like what I thought was hand sanitizer like on in that area, but someone had also mentioned at one point that it was lotion. Like, there was a lot of like gross things happening, or I shouldn't say gross. It felt gross to me at the time. That was my truth. But, you know, sex work is fine. It was really surprising to me because it wasn't what I was expecting. But I understand people gotta do what they gotta do. But anyways, that was the norm, I think. And this lady was really great at just, like, selling your time. And so she, like, sold this regular time with me. And we went back. And this guy was like, "I'm gonna eat your pussy." And I was like, "No." He was like, "Yes, I am." And I was like, "Fuck no, dude." Like, it's not, I don't even think I said fuck no. I was still being, like, really meek and sweet at the time. But I also was not letting that happen. I was just like, "No, sorry." Then he got mad. Was like, "What the fuck?" And like stormed out and was demanded a refund. And the woman at the front counter who had sold him this with me gave him a partial refund. And I was like, "What in the actual fuck?" There's no situation in any club I've worked at where a customer would get a refund for not receiving sex work. Like, what? yeah, so that was a big red flag. Yeah, like, the later time that I was there, sorry, I just thought about, like, when I was there, I did have a really fun experience where, me and this Hungarian girl, we watched Magic Mike, and, when we were at our apartment, and I wanted to go see some male strippers, because I've never seen male strippers before, and, she was like, "I'm down, like, take me, let's go to New York Adventure." So we, like, figured out all the trains and stuff from Long Island and went to this place. It was supposed to be, or we thought it was going to be a male strip club review, but it ended up being a voguing competition that was so sweet. And we ended up, like, partying with the manager a little bit in the, like, VIP section or whatever. Which wasn't really that VIP, but it was cool. But anyways, it's funny because I actually really am into voguing now. So that was a fun foreshadowing for the rest of my life. But anyways, back to the bullshit. So the club, I was feeling really uncomfortable because I was just like drinking and, you know, avoiding getting sexually assaulted. But there was definitely like other women there who were doing the best that they could, but yeah, we're doing a lot more than I was comfortable doing, but that was like their set of normal. So I was like in the back room doing a dance for someone, and then I looked over and the little the dividers were open with this like two girls and a guy, and I looked over and I saw that like between the dividers that he was just wearing his underwear, and I was like, like, and for whatever reason, in that moment, it kind of all clicked to me that there was just a lot going on at this club that I was, like, really uncomfortable with, and I didn't really feel safe there, and I was also in a really fragile place because I had just, like, left my, like, super fucked up relationship. So I just, like, lost it and started crying and, like, got all my stuff and was like, I have to leave. Like, I can't be here. I can't do this. And, yeah, it was a really, like, tough moment. And one of the bouncers at the door, I was like, you know, there's so much extras going on here. I really don't. It's not my kind of place. And he was like, this is how it is everywhere in New York. It will be like this everywhere you go. Like, you will never find something better. And I was like, no, dude. Like, fuck that. And left, which I'm proud of that. That was a big point for me, to just have somebody pushing so hard for this, like, fucked up narrative. And then for me to, I mean, through the tears or whatever, just be like, you're wrong. Like, I'm not accepting that. And so I left, and, you know, the whole time I had a friend in New York, who actually lived in Manhattan, so I went and stayed with her, which was wonderful. But yeah, then I was looking for a new club to work at, and of course you needed your social security card to work in New York, which I didn't have, so I had to go to the social security card office and reorder a social security card to be delivered to New York, because I had gotten a tip off from someone after calling like a bunch of places, and they're like, oh, you need your social security card, and I didn't have it because I wasn't prepared, because I didn't think I'd be working there, blah blah blah. Anyways, one of the ladies was like, yeah, so you can actually go and reorder a new one and then just bring in the paper that says that you've reordered a new one, and that will be good enough for now, at a place. So I just had this, like, memory pop into my head, I think when I was sleeping last night, that I have never talked about before, that I am going to, and that was, while I was searching for a club to work at during this time in the New York number one chapter, I was on, Stripper Web, and there was a post by a woman saying that there was this new club that was opening up in New York, and it was going to be so amazing for all of these reasons, and she was friends with some of the people, and anyways, so since I saw it on this stripper forum, I was like, okay, seems legit, cool. I'll reach out. And so I reached out, and the club, like, hadn't opened yet, but I went to meet with this guy in, like, the meatpacking district and got to view the club, like, on the inside before it had opened, and it seemed really nice, and the guy that was showing me around was just, like, painting these visions of grandeur for me, and I think he could obviously tell that I was, like, young and sweet and innocent, and was just looking to, like, see how much of that, like, he could kind of twist and manipulate, which is the type of energy that I was just, like, welcoming in as a whole at that time in my life. Like, hi, I'm sweet and innocent, and I don't have any boundaries, and I'm probably gonna go along with maybe whatever, I don't know. And so a lot of people that I met were like, ha, perfect. Like, it's exactly what we wanted. So this guy was definitely one of those. Was showing me around this strip club that, like, hadn't opened up yet. I was like, yeah, girls are gonna make tens of thousands of dollars here. I was just like, wow, that sounds cool. And yeah, so then he's like, here, we'll go to one of the private rooms. And we sit down in the private room, and he's like, yeah, they're gonna have iPads in every room. So if the customer wants to order you dinner, champagne, or he decides he wants to take you on a trip to, like, you know, I don't remember, like, that's a good example. Like, if you guys are just gonna hop over to fucking Bali tomorrow, he'll just order a flight and then you guys can go. And internally, I was like, that's not the kind of stripper that I am. Like, I am, like, at that moment, I'm not interested in bridging from, like, working in a strip club to, like, being somebody's sugar baby and going on adventures with them. Like, that's definitely not my bag. But I was just like, okay. Like, kind of intrigued, like the numbers that he was saying. I was really feeling desperate in that moment. So the amount of money that he was telling me seemed like so exciting. Though this club wasn't going to open up for months, and who knows if it even did. Probably not based on stuff he was telling me. But anyways, yeah. And then he like wanted to see my boobs and was like, this is a normal part of it. Come on, just show me a boob. And I was like, and I did. But I felt really weird about it, and like, but I also felt really tempted by this offer. And he was like, you know, like if you want to come back later in the fall, like we'll hire you and you can make so much money. Which now I get is like fucking typical scam artist shit. But I was like, I don't know, 21, 22 at the time, and nobody'd ever like came at me with that kind of stuff before, so I really didn't know what to look for. But anyways, yeah, it was like, it felt so icky and weird, and looking back, I'm just like, ew, like, what a fucking piece of shit. But I did end up messaging that woman from StripperWeb later and being like, hey, that guy was a total fucking creep. Like, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry. But I don't know what else came of that, but it is important. I've discovered on my journey to really loop back in. Like, when people do you weird or dirty or try to take advantage of you, like, even if you, I mean, there's no fixing the situation, but there is looping back in with them and being like, hey, I just want you to know that I know that that was fucked up. And like, no more of that. And I think it also helps to tell the universe, like, I am not that person anymore, and I'm not the low-hanging fruit in your, like, I don't know, self-serving mission to see how much you can squeeze out of, like, innocent young women. Ugh. Yeah. So the New York story has a pretty happy ending, actually. I didn't end up working at that club, not that I could have on that trip anyways. And not working for that club in the future. But I just went to the place that my friend had mentioned, my original friend that I'd heard about who went to New York before I did, where she went to this nice club in Manhattan, and it worked out great. So I went there and they hired me, and I ended up making really good money. Though, yeah, I mean, I had some, like, interesting different experiences there with customers of, like, yeah, people thinking that, like, we were gonna fuck in the champagne room, or a customer that was, like, a trans woman who had just, like, done her transition, and it seemed like she was in a really, like, dark place, and at that time, I was really into, like, just trying to make people's problems, like, my own in some way. No, I mean, I would probably still do the same thing, but I don't know if I would stay that long. I just wouldn't stay that long now. But yeah, she was just like really in like almost like a suicidal place, but I was like just trying to like comfort her, and I don't know what I thought I was doing. I'm trying to like hold space. But anyway, she wanted to do a champagne room. I'm like, okay, well, she clearly has problems and is in a really dark place, but sure, let's do it. And so we did, but then we got up there and she was like, so you're gonna show me your pussy and I'll show you mine. I just wanna see what it looks like. Like, I just wanna take notes from you about like this thing. And I was like, no, sorry, that's actually not what I do. It's only a topless club, thank you. But then I guess she was like wasted, like way more. Like, she had been slurring her words. I don't know, I just hadn't really like put together how wasted she was, and she stood up and then just like fell on the floor. And then the host upstairs seemed like kind of pissed at me for, I don't know, they were like holding me responsible for this person having an issue, and we ended up getting her a cab, and she hopefully went home and had a safe evening. I don't know. but yeah, it was interesting. And you know what was even kind of funny about that club was like one of the guys, I remember talking to a guy at the bar, and he was just like wanting to like touch me. I'm pretty sure he, like, touched my boobs, like, as we were at the bar. And I was just like, whatever. Like, I was used to, like, a really handsy club in South Carolina and was also in this passive, super passive point in my life. And I don't even think that guy was, like, paying me, but the bartender had stepped in and was like, hey, like, don't let them treat you like that on the floor. Are you new to dancing? And I was like, no, I've been doing it for a year. And he was like, yeah, like, save it for in the back. Don't let them touch you out here like that. And I was like, meh, okay, he's trying to micromanage me. But it actually was, like, a nice... I mean, I don't really like to be micromanaged, and it is, like, a case-by-case basis that I do things with customers. But, I mean, in that situation, I don't think that I was, like, really making a lot of money or made any money with that guy, probably. Who knows? But I did appreciate that club, like, the bartender, like, trying to help me. Like, set healthier boundaries for how I was going to do my business, But to be honest, at this point, I was just a fucking, like, hot mess. I was just a hot mess in my hot mess, and that's what I was doing. Like, period, end of story. So, that's just who I needed to be then, okay? But yeah, so I ended up, yeah, making money. The trip was worth it, like... And my big, big takeaway from the whole excursion or debacle, depending on your perspective, was that I had been really scared to do something on my own at the beginning. And that's why I hadn't had the courage to just go to New York by myself. And I'd wanted to use the agency. And, you know, it did help me gain the courage to know that I can do it by myself. But after that, I was like, never again will I be putting myself in this position where I'm, like, beholden to a contract at somewhere where I don't know how it's going to be, like, how it's going to be run. And so after that, I just got a lot more independent and, yeah, made a point to be, like, booking my own shit and, like, taking care of, like, my lodging and transportation and all of that so that I knew... that nobody could hold anything over my head to try and convince me to stay somewhere, do something that didn't work out for me. And also, you know, to that bouncer who tried to convince me that every club in New York was gonna be just like the one that I worked at initially in Long Island. Thanks. Like, you're right in that, like, there's always probably going to be a little something going on at each club, but you're wrong in that, like, at the club in Long Island, it was, like, facilitated by everyone who worked there, and in a way that was, like, not empowering, with the, like, taking your money and then giving it back to you later, and, yeah, just, that whole thing was wrong. Yeah, and, like, the club that I did end up working at was a publicly traded company, and whenever they gave me a tour, they were like, yeah, you know, if we catch you doing anything illegal, we will fire you, and which, to me, at that point, is, like, music to my ears. I'm like, thank you, good. I mean, I have no intention of doing anything illegal, and I would want you to fire me if you did, I guess, or that was my thoughts at the time. It just felt like such a fucking relief to be somewhere that was, like, run in a different way, and it was. Yeah, and you know what? I went back to New York 2 times afterwards, and that nice place never hired me again. Actually, I think I only re-auditioned there once. The third time, I ended up going to their sister club the second time, and the third time, I just went straight to the sister club because I knew I could work there, But I prefer the first one, for sure. Yeah, but New York's just an interesting, interesting beast. But yeah, spoiler alert, I did not make the entrepreneurship business that I was hoping to at the time. I was working with, like, a freelancer from India who I paid And then he just took my money and didn't complete the project, that asshole. But honestly, all of this, like, ended up being the landslide that brought me to where I am today. And I love that. And not every venture that you start out on is going to be a success. In fact, you're probably going to hit a lot of fucking road bumps. And this was a real road bumpy time in my life. Though, you know, interesting and kind of fun. So yeah, and I do have my own businessy type things now. I'm still like working on it, but stripping has really, it's been a nice, like, continuous relationship that I've had throughout, you know, then to now, which has been from the time of this story was in 2015, and now it's 2020. So, whoa! That's only 5 years, you guys. That feels like a fucking decade or more. I don't know. I'm still young. Time. What's that? Feels like a long time ago, but damn. Yeah, actually, wow. Just thinking about how much of a sweet baby, innocent, like, codependent deer I was in this story, and then how I feel about all that shit now. I mean, honestly, I was a sweet, innocent, baby, codependent deer, but I did say no a lot, and I did leave situations that weren't good for me, so maybe not with the gusto that I would now, but I'm still proud of it, so. So anyways, this has been kind of a non-linear ramble, and yeah, I hope that you find this interesting, and I hope that you take your intentions into consideration before choosing to use a travel agency, but don't rule all of them out. And yeah, I hope you have an amazing day. And I don't know if New York's a great place to work at this moment, but it could be worth a try. Cheers, everybody.